It's not the least bit uncommon for European jockeys to win a Breeders' Cup race, but the names are usually familiar ones like Frankie Dettori and Ryan Moore. But this year, it could be that the star among the European jockeys in the Breeders' Cup is a 23-year-old baby-faced jockey from Ireland who you may not even have heard of. His name is Oisin Murphy, and on the other side of the Atlantic, there is no hotter rider. This interview was recorded prior to the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, which Murphy won on Roaring Lion. Since that win, plans have changed, and the Son of Kitten's Joy is now being pointed to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Murphy is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
For over 40 years, buyers, sellers, and breeders alike have turned to TaylorMade for custom fit solutions. From boarding to breeding to both public and private sales, our dedicated team stands ready to serve you. With expert advice from the Taylor brothers and their experienced team of account managers, you can count on TaylorMade to provide the personalized service you deserve and expect. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing can do for you.
By way of Killarney in Ireland, Oisin Murphy has come far and he's come fast. Beginning his career in 2013 as an 18-year-old apprentice. In 2014, he was the champion apprentice in the UK, but he was just getting started. In 2018, Murphy's career has exploded. He won 3 Group 1 races in August and 2 more since. Come the first weekend in November, he will be aboard several Breeders' Cup horses with big shots in our championship day of racing. Welcome, Oisin. And before we talk about the Breeders' Cup and the year you're having, let's just start at the beginning. Tell us about where you grew up and how you decided to become a jockey.
Hey, Bill. Great to be online tonight. Basically, I grew up in the southwest of Ireland, Killarney, County Kerry. It's not very, we don't have many racing stables in that area, but racing in Ireland is very popular and it's very well followed. So it was always my ambition from about the age of 11 to try and become a jockey. And I chose to move to England to try and give it a go as an apprentice. And thankfully, it's all gone well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read that your uncle, Jim Colotti, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, who was a legendary steeplechase trainer and jockey, was really your mentor, that he, more so than anybody else, brought you along and taught you the craft. Could you talk about him and what he meant for you as a young boy growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved in with Jim when I was about 14 years of age, and he was an up-and-coming jump jockey at the time, Kerry jump trainer at the time, and he'd achieved plenty as a rider. He won a Grand National, 3 Cheltenham Gold Cups. He basically won all the big National Hunt races in Ireland and England. And as a trainer, he won another Cheltenham Gold Cup, and he had 4 Cheltenham Festival winners in total. So I had plenty to live up to when I started my own riding career. But he pointed me in the right direction. It was his decision to send me to England, to Andrew Golden, to be an apprentice. And I owe him a lot. He's been my mentor since day one, you know.
Well, you sort of touched on what my next question was. Being someone from Ireland and with Ireland having great racing of its own, is that why you became a UK-based jockey, just because of the whole connection and your beginnings with the Balding stable?
Yeah, I suppose there's more opportunities in Britain. Bill, in Britain, we race every day. We may not race in England, but there's racing in Scotland or Wales or wherever. And there's a variety of tracks. You know, people aren't afraid to travel horses here. So as a rider, I had a better chance to get going compared to Ireland. And, you know, I'm very grateful to my uncle Jim for making that decision, because had I stayed in Ireland, I may not be in the position I'm in now.
And now it's Highland Killory, the near side, leading to the green colours of Louis the Pious. Jack Dexter beginning a charge towards a regal parade down the centre of the course. Hams is in behind those, but it's Highland Killory who's in front. Highland Killory and Oisin Murphy have won by almost 2 lengths.
Well, you just heard the running of the 2013 Scottish Gold Cup at Ayr, and that was the first major win of Murphy's career. And Oisin, at the time, did you ever think, this is as good as it gets? Or did you imagine that 4 or 5 years later, you'd regularly be winning Group 1 races?
I'll be honest, I always thought it was a very difficult game, and I was fully aware that, as a jockey, you're only as good as your last ride or your last winner. You have a little bit of grace in essence. But, you know, you have to keep achieving, keep finding the fast horses. And I was fully aware of that from a very young age. I grew up watching my uncle Jim as a jockey with my granddad at home, and you know, his rides would be criticised, and he depended on success to keep things going, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now here in the U.S., we have some very good young jockeys. I'm sure you're familiar with Ayrod and Jose Ortiz, who will you be competing against in the Breeders' Cup. But it's always seemed to me like in the U.K., it's much harder for a young rider to break through. And that's one of the reasons that your story is so unique and special. And do you agree with that? And why might that be the case, that we don't see many stories like yours, someone who's 23 winning Group 1 races?
I don't know, Bill. It's a very closed shop. You know, you need to be involved with the big trainers and big owners. And if you're not, you're not going to get on the top horses. And this year I've done very well to be connected with so many Group 1 horses. But I'm aware next year I'm going to have to find replacements for many of them. And the hard work has already continued for 2019.
Okay. Well, you did get obviously one big break. A few years ago, you were signed on to be the stable rider for Qatar Racing. And how much has that meant to your career? I mean, that is exactly what you were talking about. You need those big outfits behind you. What have they meant to you, and what have they meant for your success?
Well, you know, it was my ambition to be part of the Qatar Racing team when I was an apprentice, because they had horses at Andrew Balding's stable. And obviously, it never dawned on me that that would be possible, but I worked hard, and one of my first rides for Qatar, which was probably Champions Day 2014, you know, everything went well, maybe actually 2013, and basically things got going from there. You know, Sheikh Fahd and his brothers are very supportive of flat racing in Europe and actually across the world, and he wanted me to do well, you know.
Well, there's much more to come with rising star jockey Oisin Murphy. But first, this message from our sponsors at TaylorMade.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Over the past four decades, TaylorMade has risen from a small boarding operation to the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing. Here's Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer.
TaylorMade sales follow many horses that are training at the racetrack, and they are particularly adept at evaluating mares and placing them with a proper stallion after their racing careers are over. They are very straightforward and are also experts on confirmation of younger weanlings and yearlings.
My name is Tia Andrini, and I am from San Mateo, California. I've been doing business with TaylorMade for about a year now, and it's been one great experience after another. It started with my first TaylorMade venture when I bought an interest in the filly Catherine Sophia, which ultimately landed me 3 weeks later in the middle of the winner's circle of the 2016 Kentucky Oaks with her. The TaylorMade team is a group of truly outstanding individuals. They are knowledgeable, professional, and completely customer service driven. To me, the TaylorMade name epitomizes the term trusted advisor. That is exactly what they are, and I am very proud to be associated and doing business with them.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Oisin, growing up or when you were just starting out as a young rider, other than your uncle, who are your heroes or your mentors when you started out? Perhaps is there anybody's style that you tried to copy? Who would be most influential in your career, maybe, besides your uncle?
I'd say Aidan O'Brien. I was sent there as a child, and you know, he let me ride top horses and let me ride work, and he took an interest in how I rode, and he helped me improve a lot. And you know, he told me I'd be champion apprentice, and obviously that gave me a lot of confidence when I moved to England, but I had to go and do it. And you know, even now I get on very well with him and his, you know, his family. I stay at the house when I go home, and he's certainly be a huge help in my career.
Now, somebody wrote a story about you, and I think they said that the people that you worked for before you became an apprentice, like Andrew Balding and Aidan O'Brien, was almost like a non-jockey going to Harvard or, if you want to compare in the UK, Oxford or Cambridge. Is that the case? Is that the greatest education you can get working for people like that?
Probably. You know, that's thanks to my Uncle Jim. He sent me there. He was in charge, and I just followed the lead, but it probably is. I rode Rural of the World when I was 16 years of age. He went on to win Epsom Derby, and you know, how many kids could say that? Mm-hmm. So I had every opportunity, and it was up to me to grasp and make sure I improved and gave it 110%. And thankfully, you know, I've been very fortunate, because there's plenty of guys with the ability. They just need steering in the right direction, and I had good people behind me.
Now, you actually made your debut in the Breeders' Cup last year, but it was a quiet one. You rode, had one mount, a big long shot in the Turf Sprint, who finished ninth. I don't imagine you got much attention or acclaim like you're going to get this year. But what did you take away from the experience of riding in your first Breeders' Cup last year at Del Mar?
It's a fantastic event, and obviously Frankie Dettori has done very well there over the past few years, both for European trainers and American trainers. And, you know, I want to get to the very top level, and I'm 23 years of age, but I'm hungrier than, you know, I want to succeed. And hopefully this year I've got some live chances, and I can get my name in the score sheet.
Blondme's hit the front, and in the E.P. Taylor, it's going to be Blondme by a half to Kitten's Roar in the final 16th. And Blondme, although drifting out, has gone on to win by almost a length.
Now, what we just heard there was your first Group 1 win in North America when you won the 2017 E.P. Taylor at Woodbine aboard Blondme. Now, a different country, but same continent, and we're all sort of neighbors here, the U.S. and Canada. Tell us about that race, and how did it feel to get a Group 1 winner over on this side of the Atlantic?
Yeah, I thought I was on the best horse in the race, and, you know, I've had a few stints to Woodbine. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic track, one of the best turf tracks I've ridden around. I haven't ridden on the poly track. And Blondme was a very special filly, because it was my first Group 1 winner for my boss, Andrew Balding. And, you know, he took me from having never ridden in a race to being champion apprentice and everything in between. So that was a huge day, massive in my career.
Now, Oisin, here in the U.S. we have a saying, and I don't know if you have the same saying in Ireland or England, but we say that an athlete is in the zone. And basically that means they're focused, they're hot, they're doing everything right. And when you look at what you've accomplished since August, five Group 1s, including the Judmon International, the Sussex Stakes, the Irish Championship Stakes, are you, quote-unquote, in the zone? And if so, why? What's going on right now that, in particular, you just seem to be doing everything right and winning so many big races?
I'd like to say I've been in the zone for a few years, but now I'm getting the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have anything obstructing me as such. I live, breathe, and dream racing, and I know how important it is to keep the people I'm riding for happy, and to do my job as best I can. But now I'm really getting chances, and obviously Sheikh Saad and Qatar Racing is growing all the time. With time, they're buying better and better horses, and I'm connected to Andrew Balding, Sidon Sarur, Phoenix Turbrits, who've done very well in the US this year. I write for all these great people, and you know, they're putting me up, and I want to do as well as I can for them, and that's my complete focus. I don't have anything else, you know.
Okay. We will be back with Oisin Murphy when we return after this message from TaylorMade, and we'll talk about his mounts in the 2018 Breeders' Cup.
Family-owned and operated since 1976, TaylorMade has dedicated the past three decades to serving clients and helping make equine dreams come true. No other agency has sold more Grade 1 winners, more graded stakes winners, or more Breeders' Cup champions than TaylorMade. Visit us at the sales or online at TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what TaylorMade can do for you.
Roaring Lion on the outside of Verbal Dexterity. They're followed by Athena, Study of Man and Rhododendron. But Saxon Warrior's gone for home, racing towards the final furlong and has stretched on a couple of lengths in front. Roaring Lion's gone after him on the outside. They're racing now towards the finish and it's Saxon Warrior, Roaring Lion, the arch rivals. Roaring Lion gets up to win it!
You just heard Roaring Lion win the Irish Champion Stakes and he'll be one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup Turf. He showed a tremendous turn of foot in that race at Leopardstown. And Oisin, is that what makes him so good? One part of what makes him so good? What makes this horse so special to you?
You know, he's brought me to another level. And obviously the connection with John Gosman, who is a master trainer and obviously has had marvelous success at the Breeders' Cup. You know, it's great to be part of this horse. And I've got to pinch myself because I realize it's very hard to replace a horse of this quality. Mm-hmm. And it may take a number of years before I find another one just as good. Officially on ratings, anyway, you know. You can have weak years where horses win group ones who may not win in other years, but this fella really is outstanding.
Now, as good as he is, he will not be the favorite in the race. The favorite will be another horse trained by John Gosden, as everybody in America was thrilled to hear the other day that he announced that the ARC winner Enable will, in fact, be running in the Breeders' Cup turf as well. And you, of course, are not her rider, but you know all about her. How hard is it going to beat her as good as she is?
She's outstanding. She's won two ARCs. She's the best filly in Europe and maybe in the world. And you know, I'm under no illusion, but Roaring Lion is top class, and I think two turns or three turns will suit him. You know, he's going to go a mile and a half for the first time since the Epsom Derby, and I don't think he should be underestimated.
Okay. And is there any particular type of footing that he likes? Usually we expect the European horses will relish the soft going, but it looks like most of his big wins have come on good to firm. What are your feelings about perhaps if in case you get a soft track at Churchill Downs?
He probably should have won a Group 1, the Racing Post Trophy, on soft ground. Mm-hmm. I hit the front that day when he was a two-year-old and he got a bit idle. And I hit the front too soon. It was jockey error. And I have no issues with him running on a softish track in America.
Mm-hmm. Now, Oisin, I know you've never ridden at Churchill Downs, but it's one of the most famous racetracks in America. And, of course, I'm sure you know all about the Kentucky Derby. Maybe someday you'll even have a mount in it. But what do you know about Churchill Downs? What has maybe John Gosden, who I'm sure has raced horses there over the years, told you? And, you know, the mystique of this great American racetrack that you'll be riding at in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, basically, I've obviously done lots of research. You know, he said you have to be on your A-game. Do plenty of homework. Try and get rides early on in the week, and learn as much as you can. But these horses have a certain run style. I know what's going to happen in the races. I have, you know, good people behind me, my agent, form men, and we'll ride the horse to win. And I'm a very confident person anyway. Things will either go right or wrong, but I think I'm on a superb horse, and I think I've got some great chances. Other than Roaring Lion at the Breeders' Cup, so it's something to savour and look forward to.
Lightning Spear riding behind him. So Beloved is coming there. Here's Gustav Klimt. It's wide open as they approach the furlong pole now. Expert Ida, Gustav Klimt, Beat the Bank is there. Lightning Spear coming through between those. Expert Ida is just in front. Lightning Spear throwing out the challenge in the closing stages. Lightning Spear and Oisin Murphy get through and have won.
Well, that was another one of your big horses, Lightning Spear winning the Sussex Stakes, which was part of that great August you had with three Group 1 winners. He will go in the Breeders' Cup mile. Last time out, he didn't run his very best race in the Prix de Milan at Longchamp. Any reasons why, and what do you expect from him in the Breeders' Cup Mile?
Yeah, very simple. False ground at Longchamp. He wasn't happy. He got kicked back in his face and couldn't travel. And he actually handled the soft ground well, but it just didn't go right for him on the day, and I didn't knock him about. He's going to freshen up and go to Ascot, and then he's going to have 2 weeks to the Breeders' Cup. So it's exciting. He's going to make a marvelous stallion. He's got an unbelievable pedigree. The physique is outstanding. And we can't wait to finish his racing career, hopefully on a high, and get him to stud.
Now, I know you have a few other mounts, including a couple two-year-olds that you're very excited about in the Breeders' Cup. So why don't you tell us more about them, their names, what races they're going in, and what they've accomplished so far that has you excited?
Yeah, so Mac and Bullet is going to go on the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. It'll be her first try at a mile. She was second over 6 furlongs in the Group 1 Cheveley Park last time. I think she'll stay, no problem. I think she's probably going to go there with every chance. I'd be disappointed if she didn't run first three. She's got the form, and I think the step up and trip is going to bring out improvement.
So let's listen to the Mac and Bullet's big effort in the Cheveley Park Stakes.
So Perfect leading the way to the Mac and Bullet and Fairyland on the near side. They race up towards the line and Fairyland is battling on gamely from the Mac and Bullet, and Fairyland lifts the Cheveley Park from the Mac and Bullet.
And I've also got Soldier's Call, who took on his elders in the Prix de l'Abbaye at Longchamp on his last start. He won a Group 2 at the Flying 5 at Doncaster on his start before, and he's a very fast horse, obviously going round a turn for the first time. He goes around a turn every day at home because he trains on the short for his first canter, so he's used to turning. And I honestly hope with a good draw, he's going to take a lot of beating.
And now, Sheen, you've ridden in numerous countries, 7, 8, 9, 10. You've won races all over the world, Dubai, France, England, Ireland, Group 1. So at this point in time, you're no longer that little 17-year-old baby-faced apprentice. You're a young 23-year-old jockey who's in the middle of, or actually I would say just starting off a great career. But nonetheless, the Breeders' Cup is a huge event. Even though you did ride in it last year, you really rode a horse that didn't have much of a chance. So how excited are you and how much are you looking forward to what could be one of the greatest couple days of your career?
Yeah, no, I'm very excited, but I rode in my first section derby when I was 18 years of age, and it doesn't get any bigger than that. So I won't be nervous, and I know I have good rides, and I hope I can do the best for those owners and trainers. But, you know, I'll have done my homework, and it'll either be, or it's either going to happen or it's not. And hopefully the Breeders' Cup 2018 is a lucky one for Oisin Murphy.
Yeah, and now you've already established yourself as I would think a star in the UK, especially what you've done over the last two or three months, like we mentioned before, since August. I don't know if this is necessarily 100% true, but I imagine you've won more Group 1 races than any other jockey in Europe over that period. What do you think the two or three Breeders' Cup wins, well, maybe even one Breeders' Cup win, might do for your career and your reputation?
Yeah, it would mean a lot because I haven't had many opportunities to ride in the US and, you know, some of the absolute top horses in the last few years, Arrogate, American Pharaoh, Justify. I followed their career paths, and you know, we don't, as European riders, we don't get many opportunities to visit the US. We've got a very busy schedule here, but Ryan Moore talks about these sort of races, the Triple Crown, as something he really would like to be part of, and it's rubbed off on me. And I'd love to get the opportunity to ride a little bit more on dirt. I'm low on experience, but I'm very hungry, and you know, that is the dream for me. And the beauty of being a flat jockey is you can ride all over the world. And I remember watching the Dubai World Cup and the Preakness Stakes when I was about 10 or 11 years of age. You know, and hoping one day I might be part of it. And you know, it's a possibility now, and that's a great position to be in.
It sure is. Well, Oisin, congratulations on the year you've having and all the success you've had on the other side of the Atlantic, and we believe that you're going